Thank you very much. My name is Dharma Fabian, and I'm working for a minority rights group. In this presentation, I'm first going to talk about the NGO, MRG, and a bit of our aims and how we are trying to achieve these aims. And then I'm going to talk about a bit our ongoing program in Southeast Europe and how we are trying to use the opportunities provided by the EU accession process to improve the lives of minorities. And then I'm going to present you the conclusions of our recently published study on the EU's progress reports. So MRG is an NGO, non-governmental organization, working to secure the rights of minorities. Besides the promotion of minority rights, we also put a big emphasis on good intercommunity relations, so we promote cooperation and understanding between communities. What we are trying to achieve is to persuade the decision makers for the need of constructive change involving minorities. We believe that the process in which we are trying to achieve these aims is to achieve these outcomes is very important. So we are working in partnership with the minorities on the ground, because the situation of minorities and the problems they face needs international cooperation to assist the states to work towards the human development of minorities. But we feel that an experience shows that even seemingly apparently positive developments are unsuccessful or unsustainable if they are not grounded in cooperation, in partnership with those whose interests are at stake. We are working with a network of partner organizations around the world and directly with the marginalized community. About our ongoing work in Southeast Europe. I forgot to say that MRG is a London-based organization. The headquarters is in London, and there are two regional offices, one in Uganda and one in Budapest, and the Budapest office is responsible for the implementation of two programs, and one of them is the Southeast European program. We began a three-year advocacy program last year, and we aim to improve the minority rights protection in Southeast Europe. We aim to use the opportunities provided by the EU accession process and aim to establish links and dialogue between minorities and the government and the relevant EU structures. I will not go into details of the program, just would like to mention a few of our activities so you have an idea. Program regional and then some in-country seminars to give minority representatives the skills and knowledge to carry out the advocacy on behalf of the community. And by doing this, the program contributes to increase the public participation of minorities. Besides the training, we also give minority organizations financial and substantial support to use these skills and knowledge that they acquire to support them to run campaigns on behalf of their community, and especially support for international advocacy. In this framework, two of our partner organizations submitted last year a report on the FCNN. This program was also designed and also implemented with the full involvement of the minority organizations. And also in the problem, in the program implementation, we are trying to follow this guiding principle of partnership. So now I would like to turn to the role of the EU in the region. It is well known that the EU has a significant influence on countries that would like to join the Union, and the principal tool is this accession conditionality policy, which means that the EU is setting conditions for moving towards membership. These conditions, also known as the Copenhagen criteria, are able to transform the political and economic systems of the countries on the track towards membership in the EU. Also, for minorities in Southeast Europe, this European perspective has been an important development, because there's this assumption that the EU accession process can bring about improvement in their daily lives. The important policy tool of the EU is its annual monitoring and reporting process. As we all remember from the previous, the fifth enlargement, when these progress reports are published, they get huge media and government attention. Also, it's the same in Southeast Europe. Just one of our partners mentioned in Macedonia, when the last year's report came out, they were in the headlines, and on that day the Prime Minister had a son, and normally this would have been the headlines in Macedonia, but these important news were completely ignored. It was all about the progress report. Indeed, these reports and the priorities they identify carry a very big political. While the various political and financial aspects of the EU accession process is generally not very well understood among the population, the conclusions of these reports, these annual reports, are very much brought into the attention of the so therefore, these progress reports are also very important advocacy tools for minority rights and human rights activists in the region. That is why also MRG, in the framework of this Southeast European program, published a report that looks at the impact of the EU effort on the minority rights records in Southeast European countries. Our publication, which not bring a copy, but would be glad to send it if you are interested. This publication assesses the topic of minority issues in the progress report. It looks at three crucial issues: participation, education, and employment. The application of the EU minority rights conditionality is compared against the standards. The country reports from 2002 and compares to the findings of the same issues over the same period of time. For instance, the advisory committee of the FCN, or other bodies that are monitoring the implementation of the UN. We also held a consultation with representatives of minority communities to obtain their views on the substance and the progress of the EU report. Each of our partner NGOs in Southeast Europe conducted where they invited the representatives of the minority communities, at least four minorities, including Roma. What were the findings of the study? The consultations with the minority communities showed that it's crucial for them that the minority section of the progress report takes minority rights protection seriously and cover the real concerns of the communities, and also that they put forward clear recommendations for minorities, for the government, and also for other EU institutions. So the minority rights criteria has been perceived very important, especially because a significant proportion of the population in these countries belong to minorities. Stability in the region depends on good inter-ethnic relationships. So the expectations were created, very high expectations, and we see from the findings of the study that they remained unfulfilled at the moment. The analysis part of the study revealed that that the Commission refers to international human rights instruments, but they don't really employ the language of human rights. Instead, they use unclear and ambiguous language, and they don't identify clearly shortcomings and gaps, and they don't put forward clear recommendations how to overcome the difficulties. One example that we highlight in this regard is the important aspect of minority rights protection is the anti-discrimination, which is actually one of the few areas in human rights where the EU actually has a human rights model for the Southeast European countries. But the report identifies discrimination as a problem, but it's not consistently insisting on the adoption of a legal, comprehensive legal framework, and not calling for effective implementation of such legislation. Also worth mentioning the process, how the reports are prepared. DG Enlargement of the European Commission is tasked to draft these reports, and they get information from delegations in these countries, from member states, delegation, diplomatic missions in these countries, also from international NGOs are also included to some extent, and there has been important steps taken by the European Commission to open up towards the civil society. And one example is the consultations that are held annually in June in Brussels. But of course, the Brussels consultations are attended by international NGOs. And minority communities and their organizations remain in the margins of the mainstream consultation. The general involvement of civil society is not sufficient to ensure that the minority voices are heard, and there's no, at the moment, no specific attention devoted to include the minority organization. This is one of the weakest point of the, in our view, of the EU monitoring process, because participation is a fundamental minority right, and minority communities need to be involved in the monitoring on minority rights in their own countries. So we recommended the Commission to aim for an institutionalized mechanism for minority communication communities participation in the EU accession process. My final thought is that although the I might not be so optimistic or seem very optimistic at this point, but the conclusions of our publication is that the opportunities that lie in the EU enlargement policy to improve the daily lives of minorities is not used to the extent potential for significant changes is there, but it's not yet turned into concrete impact. But we have to stress that the EU monitoring process is a very important generator for change, because whether an issue by a government is put on the agenda or dropped from the agenda is very much whether the issue is included in the assessment of the EU report. So for human rights and minority rights activists, it's very important to use all the opportunities, let it be in Brussels or through the delegations, to try to input to these annual reports. And I would like to also stress that the pre-accession period is a very unique opportunity where the EU can put pressure on candidate countries and can have a very significant influence. As we have seen from the previous enlargement and the post-accession period,
attention.